Hello and welcome to Power of the Parent, the podcast. I'm your host, Charlotte Speak. I'm a level 7 CMI accredited coach, a StrengthsScope master practitioner, mental health first aider and talent consultant. And I'm also the face behind Power of the Parent. In this podcast, I'll be speaking to parents in the workplace. Some of them are in traditionally employed roles, others are running their own businesses, and we're having conversations about life in general, insights about being a parent and having a career, and exploring the strengths that parenting has awoken for people. We will talk about things like the value that they're bringing to the workplace, as well as my guests very generously sharing their personal stories and anecdotes about everything life can throw at us. Hello and welcome back to Power of the Parent, the podcast, where today I am joined by two amazing women, sisters no less, Ruhi and Nida Moyahuddin. They are educators and co-founders of New Power, which is a company based on the belief that everything a woman needs is within her, which I absolutely love. Their business is from a very personal place, so they have had their own experiences with things like negative self-talk, having real and perceived barriers, and not being able to see their strengths and the value that they bring in the workplace. I absolutely love what you guys are about, and in particular, your line that you use, that empowerment should not be a privilege. And I, yeah, that hard agree, absolutely hard agree with that. So I'm absolutely delighted to be talking to you both today. So let's start. Have I summed you up there? Is there anything that you would add?
So perfect.
Better than we could say ourselves.
I'm also so excited to speak to you because we feel like the work you're doing with parents and empowering parents essentially is just so amazing. And being our parents ourselves, we understand exactly what you're doing, because I think every parent's experience is so unique, yet we don't talk about how different it is. So even when people talk about things like, oh, are you ready for birth? This is what it's going to be like. It's so different for every single person. But I think essentially the struggles together as mothers, I think it's very, very similar and that we can relate to.
Also, to add on to that, I think sometimes we feel like being a parent is our only role. Mm. And with you saying power of the parent, is there is so much more to that. And sometimes we have to put things aside, but no, we can go back to who we were before and use that, even though we do have a new role in becoming parents.
Yeah.
So that's an amazing reminder that you have. Even then, sometimes we do need a bit of help. We do need a bit of
encouragement.
Yeah. But the empowerment, again, it's a similar thing where the empowerment is there within you. It's just, you know, looking and seeking and taking it out and using it.
Yeah,
absolutely. And for the benefit of the listeners, because we're not going to see the video, although I can see you, just so that everybody can get used to the two different voices, do you want to just introduce yourselves with your names so that we can pick up who is
of course who? Okay, so I'm Nida and this is
I'm Ruhi.
Yeah, so that's
there
the
you
difference.
Go you can hear the difference.
Okay, perfect.
So we first spoke a few months ago now, didn't we? And you were setting up and you shared your journey with me about how you had been you still are educators, but the experience that you had had and how much that had informed your business. And you've got a wonderful array of children between the two of you as well. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously heavily influenced what you do. And we will come on to kind of the parent side of it, but what have these last kind of few months been like for you as you've been setting up New Power? Like, how's it been working?
Where do we begin?
Do you know, it's such a journey, but I think the best thing is having someone to go through it with.
Of course, 100%.
And even though we are both so different, we have and have had different experiences, even though we're sisters, it's been just so nice to have that support system in place. Mm-hmm. And I think even with our business, it's all about giving women a support system. And I think it's giving that space of voicing things, because as soon as you voice things, you give back control and power to yourself. And we genuinely believe in the power of talking.
And also just as important is being heard. So we're here to hear you. So even, for example, if we're going through something, just having someone hear what I have to say it just, you just feel like, oh, do you know what, now what can I do to take control? I've voiced it, someone's heard it, now we need to go into the next steps.
And so a lot of our program, especially the barrier one, is all about working on progression, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we have really struggled to really embrace, because in order to preach it, you have to embrace it, and you know, be practice it. Yeah. So what we do is we use all these types of tools and techniques to make sure that even if we're having a bad day, and sometimes we do, and we believe that confidence and empowerment isn't a stagnant state. Like, you will have days of low confidence. We just remind ourselves, okay, even in this last week, look how far we've come. And that's so important. And I think, like, it's something that we embed in our own children about when they have those moments of I can't, or, I, you know, they have those meltdown moments of I really can't do this, I'm so bad at it. We're like, but look how much you have shown that you can do, and look how far you've come.
And with that in note, is the sometimes it's the smaller steps that are more profound and more important, rather than reaching towards the end goal. Because only when you look back, you're like, oh my God, all those little things helped me where I am now, but they've also taken me where I am now.
Yeah.
So it's, again, constant reminders. So even with us, we're struggling with certain things, but like, but we're not in the same mindset, because we've moved on so much. Yeah, and that's very important.
That is so important. You're so right.
And I mean, you, like, the dynamic between you two is incredible. And I saw it when we first spoke, and obviously now again. And you are the queen of reels, or the queens of reels, I should say.
Oh, thank you.
Because again, like, seeing the two of you interact together, I think, as there'll be lots of people that are listening that aren't running their own businesses. And I think sometimes it can therefore kind of don't necessarily resonate with some of the messaging that can come out from some of the people that I speak to, because it is very much people often running their own gigs. But I do think a lot of what you're sharing does resonate for a more kind of employed life as well, because that kind of feeling of having somebody there to spur you on, to encourage you, to remind you of your messaging and why you're doing what you're doing is so important, no matter where you are in the world and what you're doing, isn't it? And I think that's something that comes across from you two very beautifully, that it is about, you couldn't live your values more, I don't think, in the way that you seem to be operating, and obviously what you're trying to achieve with New Power.
But I think it was because the company was started because of what we needed for ourselves.
100%.
We needed encouragement. We needed to remember how confident we were. We needed to empower ourselves. And all the steps that we have taken was for ourselves first. And from that, we created our programs.
I think it's so funny, because my sister always says that children are at the peak of their confidence, and they're so much more likely to experiment and be themselves and not worry so much, even though children do worry and they have things that they need to overcome and worry about. But I think for us, a big journey was, we looked back and said, you know what, I remember that I was at my peak at this point in my life. How do I get back there? And what experiences shaped me from then on that I needed to address that maybe I wasn't addressing?
Or we were neglecting.
This company came about where, even though we're so close as a family and we're so close-knit, we stopped talking about things that were going on in our lives because we were trying to be strong for other people and not really thinking we're being strong for ourselves by being strong for other people. And I think we're so proud of the fact that our company was founded on just one really vulnerable, very long phone call where we were like, I didn't realize you were going through similar things, and why have we not been talking about it?
And that's because, and I think that happens to everybody, is when you feel like you're going through a problem, when you don't talk about it, you feel very alone, because you feel like there's no one else that can understand what I'm going through.
Yeah.
And everyone's issues are unique. But when we talk through things, there are so many things that resonate. There are so many things that are familiar. And the feeling that we only have a limited amount of feelings. You know, we can all, like, we all understand if someone feels sad or scared or vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But how we get there is unique. But sharing that, we can only help each other once we share that, because we're like, okay, I know how you're feeling because I felt something similar somehow. Now how do we move on from this?
What do we need to do to get back to how we want to feel? And also really understanding that we're not always going to feel good. That was really powerful for us.
Yeah.
Because we thought being happy was always being happy, and that's just not true. And also understanding that the moment you learn more about yourself is you can understand how to overcome those bad days quicker somehow. Like you understand, okay, I'm feeling anxious right now. What does that mean? How do I sit in this feeling? How do I let the waves of it pass? And what does it mean? And it's just understanding.
And more importantly, what is it teaching me?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's really important to understand, if I'm feeling a certain way, what is it teaching me about myself, about my situation, about what I need to do? And we feared those. We're like, how can we avoid it? But now we realize that they're very important.
Yeah.
You know, you do need to sometimes sit and just dwell in it to be able to overcome it, to understand it better.
And it's weird because that's so true what you just said, because being educators, we're always learning, and it's mm-hmm. really important that we were always learning about things that were so easy to learn that had a formula or had a certain step or guide. But when it
clear
came
output.
To yeah, when it came to emotions, that was so much harder to learn much from. 100% definitely.
I think the whole conversation around emotions is really huge. Mm-hmm. Like, understandably, just by the very nature of it, it's a very complex.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of simplicity as well, but there's a lot of complexities to it, aren't there?
Of
because
course. Yeah,
yeah, there's that many levels. It's probably another podcast. One of the things that I personally have been on a journey on and have then talked a lot with clients on is this idea of, you know, emotions can coexist. So mm-hmm. you can feel sad and happy at the same time. You can, I know that they're two really basic ones. You can feel a plethora of different things all in one go. And there's pros mm-hmm. and cons to that. Like, don't get me wrong. Sometimes I really wish I was the houseplant and I didn't feel all of those things.
Of course.
But I think that's something that I have had to navigate, but have had to help clients navigate it as well. And I'm guessing, based on the content of your workshops and the work that you guys do, that's going to be similar as well. It isn't about kind of suppressing and invalidating and almost kind of gaslighting yourself to say, no, you shouldn't be feeling like that. Or no, you're not feeling like that because you're feeling like this, or all of those things. Because there's enough in the outside world telling you what's wrong with those coexisting feelings, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
But that's, I think, a huge topic. And I see it a lot with parents returning to work, that they feel so torn between, okay, so I feel really nervous, and I'm going to be a real cliche with what I'm about to say, because there's
that's fine.
No, that's do, but for example, man, they might say things like, I feel really nervous, I feel really guilty, I feel very anxious about going back, but at the same and leaving my child with somebody else, like, God
forbid. Yeah.
But at the same time, I also feel really excited. I really can't wait to get back, and all those things. Or inversely, I'm really excited to leave my kid, and I'm really nervous about being in the workplace. Who knows? That's something that I think is not talked about enough. When you say it to people, they go, "Oh my God, yes." Or
yeah,
of course, I know that, and I that totally resonates. But until you sometimes said it to people, it's like, discussed
how we receive them, because we all react to things differently. I mean, it's only, and when we went to this we went to a mental health first aid course for youth, and they were talking about how our animalistic instinct when we reach stressful situations either fight, flight, or freeze. And then suddenly it's like a light bulb, when my head is like, that's me, I freeze. And I never knew how to put the word to that. So although, like, it's complex as it is, as you've said, but at the same time, the way we receive them, there are different ways of receiving that also. And I think as educators, because we were very interested in the different learning techniques that children adapt and how they learn. So that's how, like, we created activities that were
education-based
with
different learning styles.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Because we all receive things differently, we all react to the same things differently as well. So it is, I mean, it can be very simple, but at the same time, it can get very complex.
And also the understanding that every child was an individual learner that needed individual, you know, everything had to be catered for that different to learning style or where they're at. Because it's easy to say, oh, they all need to learn a certain subject, but they all learn so differently. And coming back to what you said with emotions, I think a lot of times I say, and I find my children say back to me, I'm overwhelmed. And I think sometimes that can seem as if it's just one feeling that's overwhelmed, but it's the very nature of I'm feeling too much of too many different things.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, so let's break it down of why I'm feeling this and what exactly am I feeling.
And what you said as well, like when we say everything a woman needs is within her, it's because even as educators, we've been taught that we are not teachers, we are simply guides. Mm-hmm. And children are learners, and they need to, how can they learn themselves? And that comes from the course as well. It's like, how can you help yourself? Because you know yourself better than anybody else does. We have all these tools and tips, but which one works best for you is something that we need to figure. Because sometimes I think what happens is we sit there and we're like, I feel a certain way. Who do I ask for help, or what do I need to do? Those are two separate things. Yes, you should look for help, but what can you do for yourself?
Right.
And we need access to that. We need to be able to have that conversation. There is a lot we can do for ourselves. Mm. But I think sometimes we just, either if you feel ashamed to talk about it, or we're just, again, like you said, overwhelmed with too many things to take that step for ourselves.
And then we feel helpless, and then it's like this cycle, isn't it? Mm. So just, I think like the biggest thing that we want from our business is having a platform for women to feel like they can talk and network, to share vulnerable experiences, because we feel that the more we share our own experiences, because now we're comfortable with it, because we've dealt with the stingy feelings underneath, people are more open to relate to that and then speak out without feeling that shame or fear. And that's really powerful in itself.
And also, the more we talk about certain issues, we realize that there's a lot that we have internalized that was a projection of other people's emotions. And we forget that. So even when we talk about the inner critic, it's so important, because there are so many things that have been said around us, to us, when we were children, that we've internalized.
Yeah.
So how do we relearn? Or how do we get rid of what we don't need and use up what we do need?
And then to differentiate what's coming from us and what's coming from people around us.
Yeah.
But if we just said too much there, like, one go.
No, it was brilliant. And I think it leads to a really important discussion around perspective and mm-hmm. beliefs. And often I find that I'm having to unpick, kind of with clients, beliefs around the way that they work, as in mm-hmm. full-time, part-time, flexibly, mm-hmm. all the different ways, because there's been a belief put upon them about what that signals, depending on how many hours you work. Or I guess some of the societal messages around the motherhood penalty, or mm-hmm. all of the things that are cliches for a reason, because they have caused us problems for decades now. That's something you have to really navigate. And I, knowing what I know of your content and the sessions that you guys lead, that must be part of the fact, that's a leading question, but it must be in there. But I mean, surely it comes up for lots of us, although we don't necessarily, perhaps we don't identify it in the same way, but kind of that wake up call of, why am I believing this? Why am I thinking this? And where has this come from? I totally get that our belief systems are founded upon our upbringing, the people mm-hmm. that we're around, and all that kind of stuff. And I say this I've got much, much younger sisters who are like in their early 20s. There's a big age gap. And I've had longer kind of away from home with different inputs into my world. They're kind of just fresh out of uni and have had different, are starting to have different informed choices, and their belief systems are starting to be reshaped because they're having different exposures and different experiences. But at the point where we, as in you, and then me with the work that I do, at the point where we're working with people, they're often in a really vulnerable place, because all of this stuff has been shaken, like your belief system or what's important to you, or somebody's giving you a dodgy piece of feedback and you're really questioning who you are. They come to us at a stage where they really need help and support. And you're sometimes having to, I guess, hold up a bit of an uncomfortable mirror at times to say, you know, where does that belief come from? Are you saying that because you think that, or because that's
X, Y, and Z?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I say it's like generational conditioning, you know, because it was thought a certain way and we're like, okay, but are we taking in what was imprinted on us a generation ago? Because things change, like we need to be up to date. But I think when it comes to the older generations, where change was not seen as a good thing.
Yeah.
So it was imposed as I said, this is how we were brought up. This is how you need to be brought up. Whereas I'm thinking, my children need to see things from their own perspective. And, you know, things, how much have things changed where I need to adapt what I'm telling them, because it can't just be what I've been told.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's a lot to take on from that.
I think each time we come on these courses with women, it's not only what we give back to them. I think we learn something about ourselves every single time. And it's really powerful when they say something, we're like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that. And so even just sharing our stories, like even we talk about the inner critic, we go through the people around you that are the most influential, that maybe have said something that you're carrying and you don't even realize it. And a lot of people, that's an eye-opening moment for them, where they're like, actually, that is so true. And I don't know why I'm doing that. And even just the sense of, you could get 1,000 compliments a week and great feedback, but I think as humans, we tend to hold on to
that one critical point.
The negative one, because it hurts differently maybe. Mm. And I think that, that's something that we go deeper under. And then even with barriers, so we first do talk about inner critic, which is our biggest barrier. But I think even with doing work with barriers, a lot of women do say that their biggest barrier is themselves.
Yeah,
it's not even the outside influences or things that are holding back. It's just their thoughts about, can I, will I? It's all that self-doubt that goes on.
Because even external barriers, okay, fine, you have external barriers that not you who haven't created, but it's you that has to overcome them. So what kind of mindset do you need to be into, and what opportunities will you create for yourself to overcome those barriers?
Yeah, so that's a lot of things that are quite tough, because then it opens up our own thinking of what barriers we have overcome, but we still kind of need to.
Yeah.
So,
and also, like, again, it's we can only fall back on ourselves, you know, and I think women, sometimes we forget that, you know, like I am holding myself back, where if I do need to get something, I need to step up and say, no, I'm not going to take that anymore, or I need to make that move to make myself better and be where I need to be.
And the funny thing is, and I could say this from a lot of women I know and the experiences I've had, is that women are just naturally so strong. They are very strong beings.
Yeah.
But they're so much stronger for everyone else around them in terms of getting things done. When it comes to themselves, they won't give that fully and freely.
It's like when people say self-care is not being selfish, but that's how we see it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's such a huge conversation in the self-care side of stuff. And also that the word around guilt, just going back to the emotions conversations that we were having before, that's a huge one that comes up in my mm-hmm. world. You two are nodding furiously as well. But it does, doesn't it? And I think I spend a lot of time reframing guilt, not diminishing how it feels, but saying, you know, is it functional or dysfunctional? Is it there and for a reason? Is it trying to tell me something? Like, mm-hmm. I want to change how I'm working, or I want to switch up how I'm being with the kids or something like that. Or is it dysfunctional and absolutely doing bob all? And actually, that's like, I can't do anything with the guilt of that somebody else might put at my doorstep, or that I might make, that there are elements of guilt that you can't do anything about.
I think.
So yes, it's a bit of a reframe. So what's the, we're going into like Q4, and I've seen so many social media posts about September and fresh starts and what are you going to achieve in the last however many days of the year and all that kind of side of stuff, which is good. It's definitely good to have some focus. However, let's just, you know, we'll dial back the pressure a little bit, but what are you hoping to happen and what would you love to see happen over the next few months before the end of the year at your own pace?
At our own pace. We really believe in a very organic journey, just because this whole journey has been so organic and we've loved that.
And made so many changes that we never expected, but because of the organic change, that different ways we have to move, where we are is very different to what we expected to be at the beginning.
And that doesn't say, that doesn't mean it's like a lot. It sounds so lovely, doesn't it? Organic. Sometimes it's things that's imposed on you, like, oh gosh, I've got to fix up.
Butting heads and stuff. Yeah.
It's all of that. We still are really excited to work with our first client base that are women in a company, because that's where we want to reach out and really put our work in, because we do believe women at work have so much barriers and they have so much inner critic that if they addressed it, I'm sure everyone's working at it, it would really help them so much.
Flourish.
And help them flourish. So we do a lot of like mini courses right now, which has been our testing phase. So just to make the programs better and better, which it has done, and we're so grateful for that. So we do lots of mini courses and introductions to our courses that have really, really helped women. And the feedback has been so brilliant that it's really helped us remember in those moments where our own inner critic creeps in, how amazing the content is, because we're so proud of it. But I think, yeah, our goal is to hit that first bit client base within a corporate company, which is what we're hoping to do.
Amazing. So I know that there are going to be people listening that want to come and find out more about what you do and get to know you two wonderful people as well. So where's best to come and find out more about what you do at New Power?
So I think the best place to go is our website, which is www.newpower.co.uk. But in terms of getting to know us more and to understand what our content offers, I'll definitely go onto our Instagram page because we are doing short reels and we've got some, we've rehauled our content for the next month or so. Yeah. So we're really excited about
changing
that.
Changing our style up a bit.
Yep. And our handle is newpower, which is nu.pw.r. So do come. Leave check comments out, and we'd love to hear from people.
Amazing. And I will put all of those links into the show notes so that you can very easily go and find out more about the amazing work that you two are doing. So thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. It has been a pleasure to talk to you, and I know that we're going to see you go from strength to strength and keep having some of the most amazing and empowering conversations. So thank you for everything that you're doing.
Thank you for having us.
Take care. Thanks very much for tuning in to Power of the Parent, the podcast. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please rate, review and subscribe. And if you could tell all your friends about the podcast, that would be wonderful. If you'd like to get in touch, you can find me on Instagram. Just search Power of the Parent. See you next time.